You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, September 2nd, 2009. This is episode 95, Tech Table Talk with Young Pastors. It's that time again, time for another episode of the Wells Tech Podcast. We are all the way up to episode 95, and joining me, as she has for all the previous 94, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. And we just had an official kickoff of our school year here in Sleepy Eyes. So this is a good day. I'm excited because we'll have brand new computer lab classes to teach starting this afternoon.
So today's the first day or yesterday was?
Today is, actually.
Today, exciting. So what are you doing here doing a podcast?
Oh, we gotta talk about all this good ministry tech stuff, and I even have an education pick of the week, believe it or not.
Well, surprise.
Yeah.
All right. But before we get to that, we've got a neat interview we did late last week with three classmates of your husband, right?
That's right. We had the idea of making contact with a group of pastors who graduated from the seminary in 2007. That's my husband's graduation class. And we did a quick survey of the group, and three of them agreed to be on the podcast with us. And the focus is their use of technology in the first 2 years out of the seminary. You know, what kind of demands are on them. It's an interesting cross-section because we've got big congregations and mission startups represented. So I think it'll be an interesting interview for our listeners.
Yeah, very practical conversation, I thought, because we're hearing from people in the trenches and guys that are, I guess we would call them in the digital natives, unlike us. They've grown up with technology and are comfortable with it, and kind of seeing, you know, their take on where things are, specifically as it relates to ministry. When you did the survey, and we surveyed the whole class, and we got, I don't know, maybe about half of the respondents back, anything surprise you about any of the results?
Well, I thought it was interesting, the emphasis on technology and ministry. I think we asked them questions, you know, specific to how important is this in the ministry of your congregation and school, and it was very heavily weighted toward being very important. So, you know, I guess not surprising in this day and age, but people really are having high expectations for a congregation's ability to communicate and to use technology effectively. And we saw it across all different aspects, too, you know, asking them what areas they served in terms of technology. There was everything from tape ministry to shut-ins to MIDI files for the church organ, you know, and all in between.
And in all different locations, different size congregations, some in multi-pastorate congregations, some were there the whole show, some in mission settings. And they all were very consistent, I think, in their appreciation for the need to integrate technology into a ministry plan. And then that came through in the interview, too, as we're thinking about making sure that technology doesn't predominate a ministry as well, making sure that the focus is still on the sharing of God's word and technology is in its place, essentially the tool, you know, in a toolbox to make that happen in some way, shape, or form.
And I thought it was also interesting, we kind of tried to get the pulse of how many of them are a one-man show, basically responsible for the technology solely in their congregation versus working with others or even completely relying on entirely on other people to do the technology. And I think of this, you know, small section, non-scientific survey, but it seems like at least all pastors in our survey had their hands in technology in some way, shape, or form. I think the most most across the board, most common thing was PowerPoint presentations in Bible class and catechism. Pretty much everybody is using PowerPoint in that setting. And then the next most common thing was church office software, which I thought was interesting. But, you know, a real need there to be able to manage the data of the congregation and get to that information when you need it.
And use it, right? Yep.
Absolutely.
So who did we talk to, Sally?
Well, we had three pastors, Pastor Phil Kasmer, who is serving currently at Christ the Lord in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a larger congregation, I think around 675 members, and he is an associate pastor there, so that's kind of our big congregation focus. Mm-hmm. We had Pastor Krish Kuznitsky, who is in at Christus in Delavan, Wisconsin, 150, 175 members, somewhere in that range, and he's kind of the one-man show kind of thing. He's got one person in the congregation that's tech-oriented, but they've had an interesting situation with a lot of video ministry going on there, so real interesting to hear from Chris. And then finally, Pastor Phil Huebner, who is at Christ the King, which 2 years ago did not exist, a brand new mission startup in Palm Coast, Florida. And Pastor Huebner's done everything from the website to all of the communication and management of data, obviously a large prospect list that he's having to deal with there and that kind of thing. So real interesting cross-section.
Yep. So let's play that interview now, where as we listen to our roundtable discussion with Phil, and Chris, and technology in their ministry is 2 years out of the seminary. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast, a very special group of individuals and something unique that we have not done on the show before, and that's a little round table. We thought it would be great to make a very practical attempt at gathering together guys fairly recent to the ministry. I think everybody on the call has been in the ministry a full 2 years at this point, and gauge their reaction to using technology in ministry and how those two relate in real-life circumstances in new ministries. And we've got a cross-section of guys from people in traditional congregations to mission settings to hinterlands of Alaska to the southern climes of Florida. So before we go any further, let's introduce who we have on the line. These are all pastors. Maybe start with you, Phil. Can you just let us know who you are, where you're serving, what your responsibilities are? Phil Kasmer,
Okay, all right.
We got two Phils on the line, so Phil Kasmer is our first one.
I'm a pastor in Brookfield, Wisconsin, serving at Christ the Lord Lutheran Church with an associate in ministry, two pastors. And we're a church of about between 600 and 700 members or so, a school, an LES, with maybe 6-7 teachers, so a fairly sizable staff. And wanted duties as well, or?
Sure, what do you do there?
The things that I oversee are supposed to be evangelism and education, and then also stewardship or service, but I think by default of age, technology falls in there too.
I wondered if the age thing came into play with technology.
They give the new guy the easy stuff, don't they? You know, stewardship, evangelism, you know, the stuff that you can shake out of your sleeve real quickly coming out of the sum, right?
Yeah, no problem. It's all worked out very, very simple.
Very good. Phil Huebner, thanks for joining us. Phil, where are you and what do you do?
I'm a pastor at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Palm Coast, Florida. Palm Coast is right around Daytona Beach area on the Atlantic Ocean side of Florida. When I came here 2 years ago, it was a new mission start, meaning there was basically about 10 people, including my family. Right now we have a congregation of about 50. We have a preschool of 50, and my wife, Becky, is preschool director, so just the two of us are the staff for the church. And since that's about it, I do pretty much all of it, I guess, including all the technology stuff as a smaller congregation, I guess a lot of that falls to me for the moment. Other than that, I guess that's pretty much it. We're about to start a brand new building project for church and school, and so there'll be a lot of technology plans for the new building with video and audio and internet and computers and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I'm on top of all that as well.
Great. Now, I assume you are holding regular services at this point?
Yes, we worship every week in a public elementary school. We set up our chairs and stuff and then tear them down every week. And we've been doing that since the beginning for 2 years now.
Okay, very good. And Chris Koznitsky. Chris, where are you and what do you do?
I am a pastor at a small rural congregation in Delavan, Wisconsin, Christus Lutheran Church. We have about 160 members from kind of all over the area, I guess you would say. I am the only one here. If you want to count my wife as a secretary, I guess she's part of the staff. But, you know, we've really looked into getting our technology up to date here. Do a lot of things in the area and with our website. So it's been a new thing for our church, and I think it's something that people are starting to enjoy and kind of take a liking to. So
I'm just really excited to get to talk to you guys. I guess the one person we're missing this morning is Brian Hogman from Alaska. Unfortunately, he couldn't work it out with his schedule to be in on the call, but I thought it was a really great opportunity to touch base, kind of circle back after 2 years from seminary graduation. Of course, you guys all know, maybe our listeners don't, that my husband graduated in your class as well. So we've been living the 2 years along with you here in Sleepy Eye. And I think, Phil Kasmer, you kind of alluded to the fact, being the young guy, you must know a lot about technology, so we're gonna send technology your direction. And my husband's not quite as young as you guys, but when you come in to the congregation, I'm guessing all of you from your description are pretty involved with technology and probably doing some pretty cutting edge things with technology. And I'm just wondering how you see that as an important aspect of your ministry. You know, you're obviously pulled in a lot of different directions, but have spent the time, invested the time in website work and audio video projects and those kind of things. Is that important to the ministry that you're trying to carry out there?
I'll say yes. You know, when I first got here, they had just registered a website. And so I learned quickly how to, you know, update websites, you know, do all these dynamic pages. I know Sally's email has been flooded with questions for me on how to do things because I've been learning as I've gone. But I can't tell you how many, you know, times, you know, people will call up or stop in and say, you know, we saw your service on the cable access or, you know, we saw a bit about your church from your website. So from my perspective, I find it to be, you know, an important tool to use in a congregation.
I agree with that. This is Phil Huebner. I agree with that, and especially in our congregation, probably 95% of our members and prospects, for that matter, are under the age of 60, and even the greater majority above that would be families from our preschool, so people relatively near my own age. And so people in our generation are so busy with so many things in their schedules, it's hard for them to find time to do a lot of things. So if they can catch a quick update on a blog or Twitter or get a weekly email update, that kind of suits their schedule and their lifestyle, something quick that keeps them connected to other people and to the church. So I found out rather quickly that it's important to do these things and to try and do them well.
I guess from out here in Brookfield, just like I've said between classmates and other coworkers and family and things, the thing I've noticed in the first 2 years of ministry is just how different everybody's situation is all over. I think we in Brookfield are meeting some of those same things. You know, you want to reach out to people, you want to find ways to connect to them. But one of the interesting things for me here, and maybe this thing about being the young person coming in and therefore connecting with technology is simply that with a congregation of 600 to 700 and a staff that's here pretty much all day long, it's kind of infrastructure too is important, making sure the things that we've got are functional for making the day-to-day things work too. You know, the network and computers and smart boards in the classroom and things like that. So even just the running of the institution, if you want to use that word itself, is technology is an important part.
Go ahead, Sally. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to follow up on your comments. I guess we should have full disclosure here that we actually surveyed the entire class before we had this phone call and got some really interesting feedback via survey as well. And one thing you said, Phil, was technology is a way we can easily display a lack of professionalism, especially on the web and to the outside world and to our prospective members. So I think, you know, all of those things, the infrastructure, the public communication, all of those things need to be done well, not just slapped together per se.
Yeah, and that's been an interesting, I mean, just for us, we just finished some congregational planning meetings that we do every year. And, you know, there my associate and I kind of got jabbed a little bit in a good Christian brotherhood way, but we laughed about it together because a couple of the guys had said, you know, maybe websites should be more of a goal this year because, you know, they'd go on and find things weren't quite up to date or something like that. So it is very important.
Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting thing is that the seminary spends so much time teaching us very well how to preach the word and share the word, but to do so verbally and audibly. And it's just a world where, you know, people have to work on Sundays sometimes, and they just have no choice, or they just can't come to church for this reason or that, or a Bible study. You know, so if we are taught so well to preach the word audibly, we should also now in this new day and age learn to preach the word visually, I suppose you could say, or technologically, or whatever you want to say. You know, using those kinds of media where people do have a chance to read a blog quickly before they go off to their Sunday morning nursing shift or something like that, where they can still have the excellent message and content of the gospel, but, you know, they're not able to hear it present, you know, in worship with other people.
That I'm just thinking about a couple of comments that you made earlier. It seems that there are new preferred ways of for people receiving information, and it maybe is related to age, maybe even demographics to a certain degree, but the Word of God is a very flexible thing. In some regards, it can be transmitted in many different ways. You know, Luther found that out, that he found a new way to transmit that, you know, through the written word in the language of the people. I think we're in a similar age where there are new channels every day to share that word. We talk about, you know, blogs are almost, you know, old school at this point, but you have the opportunity to use text messaging and Twitter and social networks. And we've already mentioned, you know, the AV that's really available and, you know, low barriers to entry as far as getting video up online or audio podcasts as we're doing now. Was that a surprise to you guys to see that component maybe in at least a segment of your congregation?
I don't think for our generation it's too much of a surprise because it's been going in that direction pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
By the time, you know, even vicar year and then now out being pastors, I think it's something we've sort of seen and were expecting was going to happen. And so I think the whole time we all figured we better figure out how to do this technology stuff well because it's so necessary these days.
I agree with Phil. For our generation, I don't think it's a great surprise. I think for some in a congregation like mine in a rural setting where there's more an older generation who are members, it might be a surprise to them. You know, a lot of people are wondering, you know, why do we need to spend, you know, so much money on you know, a new video audio system or whatever it may be. And I think now they're starting to see the benefits of doing that. You know, for example, our congregation puts our Sunday sermons on our website in video format, and then also in audio format for people to listen to. And that's another way to, let the gospel, go out into all the world and in a very real sense. And so, maybe for those people who aren't in the technology generation, it's a surprise to them. But I think, if you explain it to them and help them, see the benefits of it, they start to see, this is something that is a good thing we're doing.
Great point. And I guess a follow-up question is, how do you measure the stewardship quotient of all those hours that you spend, or even the dollars that you spend investing in technology? I'm sure there are members who would question that, as you mentioned. Why so much? In this particular area, is your feeling about its success or failure based on any metrics that you've established, or is it more anecdotal, where you're getting a sense that you're getting through, that this is a good thing, or you're still maybe too early in the process?
I think for us, we're a little too early in the process. I mean, we haven't had this new system, for maybe 6 or 8 months already, so we're still, kind of feeling it out, I guess you would say. But what I tried to explain is that this is a way that, people can hear the gospel, even if they don't come into our church doors.
Mm-hmm.
It's evangelism, going out, sharing the gospel to all the world, and like I said, in a very real sense, even if we don't see the results of that at all.
Right.
Jesus told us to scatter the seeds and throw them all over the place. Sometimes they're going to grow and sometimes they won't. He didn't necessarily tell us how to throw those seeds out there. So this is an opportunity for us to plant some more seeds. And, maybe one person watches Christus and Delavan's, video cast of their sermon, hears the gospel. And that's more than enough to justify any amount of money for all I care. I think a lot of things we do for free, like the blogs and the Twitters or whatever, stuff like that. But these other things that have minor expenses attached, I think just the ability to plant the seeds out there for other people is more than enough reason. If anyone tunes in, then it's worth it.
I think here in Brookfield, I don't think we've come to the answer to that question, how to measure those things stewardship-wise totally. But just the fact that you ask it makes it, I think it's an important question to ask. Because, again, in our situation, that's... maybe the question of stewardship is answered by finding two or three of those many, many avenues that you can do well, because you have this balance of time being tugged in so many places.
It's an investment for sure, and to do it, as we talked about earlier in the interview, excellence is still a part of this, and it's important to give it the appropriate time and attention, because, again, it is ministry. It is God's word. It is an effort or an endeavor to represent God and your congregation. So it's got to be well done. And that comes at a cost. That comes at, time and attention cost, and sometimes, an economic cost. And, obviously you have to think about, where is my time best spent. Is that a danger, in the area of technology, for a pastor whose primary responsibility is to be in and to share the word, to kind of get wrapped up in learning HTML and dynamic pages in Final Web and learn about podcasting and AV? How have you guys dealt with that?
Just for, I'll just answer first, because we literally just talked about that 2 weeks ago. Those planning meetings we had.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say for me here and my partner Dave as well, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in everybody's ministry, but for us, it's been what minimal aspects of this can we do day to day, and how can we find people to do it instead? Somebody, find a congregation member who knows HTML much better than I will or do now. Or just finding appropriate volunteer people and coordinating it well so that they can do it, because, in our specific situation recently, we've just had so many people to make contact with and talk to and meet with, that you tend to start losing people because I'm spending time setting up the website
right.
or something.
Right.
So then we kind of came down to that sort of way, try to minimize it as much as possible, except when necessary.
I think as best as possible, it should be pushed off to those who have the free time and the ability to do it, so that the pastor can focus where he ought. And I think of Acts, where you know it was an important ministry to serve the widows, both Greek and Jews, but they said they were devoting themselves to the preaching of the word, and so they found 7 deacons to do that job instead, that, you know, so they could devote themselves to what they should. So I think if possible, to find someone else in the congregation, someone who can serve with that gift, it's an important thing. I guess on the other hand, though, people do want to hear from their pastor somehow. And I guess the nice thing is that our generation kind of knows how to do a lot of this stuff, you know, the emails or the blogs. So it doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of time if we do some of it. But as best possible, and as able, we can push it off to other people who are willing to serve in that way.
And in my situation, there's only one other person in the congregation who has any idea how to do this kind of stuff. So, you know, a lot of this has been my responsibility. And when I first started, you know, thinking around on our website, I couldn't believe how much time it took to, you know, get things set up and all that stuff. And after getting, you know, that initial stuff done on the website, now it's just kind of maintenance where it's not taking a whole lot of time. You know, and also in regards to, you know, the video, I've set aside a time to do that for myself because the program is on my computer. So after church on Sunday, you know, I say I'm going to do it then. I take my computer home, and it does it, you know, through the computer. I don't have to sit there and do anything. But, you know, I try to plan it out for myself, and I try not to, you know, let it dominate my time. Because, you know, if you let it, you know, it can dominate your time is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, if you're by yourself, you've kind of got to, you know, think about it ahead of time before just saying, okay, I'm going to do this on the website, because it can take hours of your time if you let it.
I'm just reminded of one of my favorite quotes that my husband shared with me. I think it was from Professor Turney in his years of study. He said, ignore all things equally. So mm-hmm. Hopefully you guys are keeping a good balance there. It's a challenge, I'm sure. I'm wondering if we could pull back the curtain a little bit and ask you what, if there's any specific hardware, software, audiovisual recommendations, something that's had a positive impact on the work that you're doing, or something you might recommend to others to check out.
The other two will laugh when I say, buy an Apple computer and nothing else.
I'd say I'll keep tossing out this mid-sized Wells Church perspective, or with an LES or whatever. One really cool thing for us here, and we've been blessed to have somebody donate these items, is the smart boards for the classroom interactive whiteboard, which has been, anecdotally from the teachers, really awesome and helpful in their day-to-day teaching, but also in our catechism teaching. And I think even something that would be pretty cool for just Bible class teaching, interactive whiteboard, has been pretty awesome.
We actually use those here for meetings as well, to do brainstorming and things like that. So lots of uses there.
For me, with the video, that's one of the big things that we do. You can buy a program called Pinnacle, which is a video editing software that I got. I think it was like $50 for this software, and it really allows you to do a lot of different things. So, I mean, if anybody's looking for video editing software, I would encourage them to look at Pinnacle. You can buy it at Best Buy, places like that. We have a projector and screen here, and looked around, and somebody referenced me to a website. I think it's pointofpower.com, which I think is run by a Wells pastor and his wife
in Michigan. Right?
They have they have pretty reasonable prices for equipment and supplies there. So, I mean, if anybody's looking, I suggest, you know, check out their website as well before, you know, purchasing anything.
One of the neat websites I stumbled on was one called meetup.com. And basically it's a social gathering site where you can create your own forums. And so what we did was created a mom's group on there, which is a popular one to do on meetup.com. And so we have a mom's group that's facilitated by Meetup. It's like $60 a year for a subscription, but it's basically like Facebook where moms can post pictures and updates and messages, but it also coordinates Meetup events. Like Saturday we're going to go meet up at the park. So it has a calendar and stuff and an ability for the moms to keep track of each other and talk. And you can start one of these Meetup groups for anything, for moms, for singles, for adults, for the church basketball team or, you know, whatever. And the preschool parents and prospect moms and church moms seem to like it.
Meetup is hugely popular. It has been for a couple years now. There's millions of people that use it, and they use it for all kinds of different things. But that is a great example of something in a ministry context. And again, very low cost to use it, and it basically perpetuates or takes the virtual component of the internet and the digital age we live in and marries it to face-to-face meetups. And I think that's the appeal, that all of us still have that need to meet together, you know, not just online but in person. And they've done a nice job with the marriage of the two worlds. That it for recommendations? So these guys coming out of the SEM this year obviously are maybe even a little bit more technologically savvy than you two-year guys, and I'm sure that it'll be interesting to see how it evolves in the context of ministry. That's kind of what this show is about. Just to listen to how you guys, at least, and hopefully you're representative of your class, that there seems to be a willingness to look at how technology can be of service to ministry, and not the other way around, of course. And we'll be happy to check in on you occasionally and see what kind of progress you're making. You all come from different walks of life, and you have different ministry priorities, and then that's okay. And I think technology can help in all of those areas. Any closing questions from you, Sally?
Nope, I think we just want to say thank you very much, guys, for taking the time to do this. I think it's really interesting perspective after 2 years to kind of put your heads together and hear how things are going.
Yep.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Talk it through.
Blessings on all of your work, and let's stay in touch. We'll post the results of the survey in the show notes, and hopefully we can do this on a regular basis to kind of take the temperature of technology and ministry. I don't think there's a better way to do it. Thanks, guys, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to all three of these very dedicated individuals who were willing to spend some time with us. I know it's not easy to take that time out of their schedules, but hopefully our listeners got something out of that interview. I think it's kind of exciting to hear them talk about the process of kind of figuring out where technology fits in ministry.
Yeah, I was real encouraged to know that it's doable, that, you know, they are struggling to find that good balance, and I think that's going to be a question for everyone, you know, as to how much time you can dedicate toward technology, but always keeping that excellent standard, you know, in front of you, that whatever you do well.
Yep.
And, you know, just shared some great resources. It was really exciting to get to speak with those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the things that were mentioned during the interview we will post in the show notes, as well as the original survey, right, and the results, Sally?
That's right. So okay. If you want to check out those results, they'll be there.
Very good. Thanks again to Phil and Chris. Appreciate your time. And continued blessings on the work that you're doing there. Good stuff. All right. We wanted to use the next segment here. Normally we talk about news and tech, but we're going to make this more of a miscellaneous area where we also talk about ministry resources. We come across all kinds of things on the internet these days that might be of assistance to pastors and teachers. And Sally, you came across some cool video tutorials.
That's right. I'm always interested in teaching or learning new things. Mm-hmm. And I know Logos Software is a Bible software that's used by many of our pastors across the Synod. And it's just an excellent Bible resource for anyone that's interested in doing additional Bible study. Mm-hmm. And they have an awesome training area on their website. Their website is logos.com. And if you go to logos.com/videos, you're going to find video tutorials for Logos. And I lost count, but I think there's probably over 70 video tutorials that they've created. Everything from basic demonstrations, Logos for new users, for intermediate users and advanced users. They have videos showing example searches, syntax, and sermon file add-ins. Mm-hmm. So just a wide range of video resources there. They're created with Camtasia Studio, so you can't go wrong there. And I think, you know, in the whole learning curve thing, what I've found to be the most effective tool is to get some good video resources available for people. You can look at them anytime. You can watch them as many times as you need to. So the next time you're trying to do a function in Logos and you can't quite figure it out, maybe you want to bookmark or tag this page in Delicious and be able to come back to this video tutorial page for Logos.
Yep. I've used Logos off and on over the last few years, and I think video tutorials are an absolute necessity. I don't find it overly intuitive. Now, guys that maybe use it more often than I probably are a lot more comfortable with it. But for somebody who only uses it occasionally, I struggle with the interface. You got 101 different boxes all over the place, and I think video tutorials are probably a great way to get the most out of that software. And I know a lot of our pastors use this, so why not use it as efficiently as possible? You don't need to be struggling with the tool. You want to get at the content. So that's what these video tutorials, I'm assuming, do. And they're all free, right, Sally?
That's right. Favorite price tag. So
very
check it out.
Good. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Very good.
Picks of the week. What's your pick this week, Sally?
Well, I'm going to circle back to what Pastor Phil Kasmer had to say in his favorite picks in his ministry, and that was a SmartBoard resource. And I think SmartBoards are an excellent tool in the school classroom as well as catechism class and even with adults and for meetings and things, as we said when we talked with Phil. What I have for you is my favorite SmartBoard blog. It's called Talking SmartBoards and Much More. And it is just jam-packed with resources, and the idea behind this, there you go, is not just things that you can create in the smart notebook software per se, but more links to things that are web-based resources that work awesome on a smart board. There's so many interactive web-based resources now, particularly in the areas of education, but in many areas. We found one recently that's a Jeopardy game that you can create on the web and play, you know, Jeopardy with the traditional answers and the kids give the questions. And we play that on the smart board, and all the little icons for the dollar amounts are clickable with your finger, you know, so you can be like Vanna White up there or Alex Trebek or whatever, and and do the whole Jeopardy game on your smart board without any cost whatsoever. And so and I found that link through this Talking Smart Boards and Much More blog. And so if you're looking for a new blog to add to your RSS reader, if you don't do RSS, you should. This is a great one to add in, you know, just kind of sift through the many resources that are posted there and try them out on your smart board.
Very nice. Like it.
Yeah.
Smart boards are cool.
And the author, her name is Anne Marie. I didn't look up a lot of bio stuff on her, but she's also on Twitter at Anne Marie 80. And so if you want to follow her on Twitter, she often posts about new resources or feedback on the resources that she's posted on her blog.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay.
All right, my pick is a website, and we've talked about some of these in the past, and in fact, one of our one piece of our community feedback talks about one of these, youSendIt.com. This is a little website called Save As, and you have to replace the A in save with the number 4. So it's S4VE.AS, and it really only does one thing. It allows you to upload a file of any size. it creates a bit.ly link, which is just a shortened URL that allows you to send that to whomever, even to yourself if you like. And it stores that file for 24 hours, and anybody can download it within that 24-hour period. The best thing about this thing is that it is the size of the file does not matter. It can be as huge as you want it to be. Some of these other sites restrict that or make you pay to get unlimited file sizes. But if you have a large file, whether it's a video, a big PowerPoint with lots of images, a Photoshop file, whatever it is, this is an awesome tool. And they can afford to do it because they're only storing your stuff for 24 hours. But it's totally free. Keep in mind it's not private. They use the Amazon S3 platform, which is Amazon's contribution to the online or cloud storage-based ecosystem, as it were. But I think there's probably a number of uses for this kind of tool. I've wished in a number of cases I had a storage place that was just really temporary, which this is. Just throw something up there. You don't have to worry about size. It just goes up there, and it's fairly speedy. And you send the link out to somebody. They download it within 24 hours, and you're done. So just a very utilitarian little application.
I can definitely see a lot of uses for this in our church and school setting, because how many times are we working together, collaborating on a committee or whatever, maybe we're planning the next teacher conference or the next pastor's conference or whatever it might be, and need to share files just quickly and easily.
And especially if you can't attach, they're too large to attach to an email, this is just a real quick and easy way to transfer those files. Or even if you're transferring your own files from one computer to another, you just want them available. But remember, it's 24 hours, so it's kind of like Cinderella. They disappear. I think it's got some uses. So that's save.as, and replace that letter A in the word save with the number 4.
Very catchy.
Yeah. what do they think of next?
Yeah,
you want to call the attention of our listeners to our Picks pages, right, Sally?
That's right, Martin. I was actually doing some research the other day, and I thought, where do I have that link stored? And I remembered our Picks of the Week page, and I can't tell you how many times I do that. But every week when we have these Picks of the Weeks, we compile them into a Picks of the Weeks page for the year. Mm-hmm. So we have a Picks of the Week page for 2008, and now we've got a pretty robust one built for 2009 as we've progressed through the year. And both of these are organized by category, things like education, hardware, Web 2.0, that kind of thing. And so you can very quickly drill down to some of the best, in our opinion at least, and find links. Maybe you remember that we talked about it in a show 6 months ago or something like that. Checking out these Picks of the Week's pages would be a good place to start to find some of the important or best links that we've shared on the show. So just wanted to draw people's attention to that.
Great resource. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not that we know everything and that all of our picks are golden, but again, there's some things that you recommend and you have kind of a single use, and maybe you use it once or twice a year, but when you need it, you really need it. So, that's a good place to look for those kinds of utilities or websites or whatever it is. So,
I think your Save As is a great example there, because when we've got a huge file and we don't know what to do with it, remember that WellStick Picks page, and you can find that link easily.
That's right. All right, let's move on to community feedback. And as usual, we have a stuffed mailbag.
Yes, we do. We're going to start with some comments from John Shoesmith. John is out in Washington State. He's a member of Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. And it's interesting because I just happen to know that John made a move recently to a different area in Washington, but he's still supporting the techniques at Redeemer in Yakima. So, and that's one thing you can do remotely. I do my job 100% remotely, so I know it's possible. And, and it's just neat that John continues to share great ideas with us. Most recently, he wrote to us about embedding a live video stream, and he was looking at someone that was doing it with ZapLive.tv. Just one of the options for free live video. And what he thought was neat about it was they had also embedded a chat window next to the live video, and he thought that would be a really effective way to do Bible class. And so, you know, good idea. We haven't gone that far. We've been doing live video of our worship services, but we haven't done any live Bible class. But certainly if you want your Bible class to be more interactive, certainly activating that chat option is a possibility.
Cool. Yeah. I think anything to pump up the awareness of Bible classes is going to be a positive thing for our congregations, whether even if it's just recorded and put online in an archived fashion. I think that does a couple of things. It certainly lets the members who aren't taking advantage of Bible class know that there's good material there, and that it's not maybe it's not as threatening as they might have thought. So it's a good introduction there. It's also good for prospects that visit your website to let them know, hey, there's some depth here as well. And then to add the interactive component, that just takes it to the next level. So great idea.
And another comment about recording in the conversation with John, it kind of came out that we've had good success. We use actually Ustream.tv, and they have an option to record as you're streaming, and they'll archive your video right there on their website. And what's neat about that is when you have it embedded on your website and you're not showing a live stream, your archived video shows there as a playlist.
Right.
So they come to our live page, and it's not a time when we're doing live streaming. They can watch a previous sermon there.
Sure.
And that's a really nice feature. So you have to work with these different providers and see what kind of features they offer, but that's one that we've taken advantage of.
Sweet.
John had one other question. He wondered if we had thought about setting up a Wells chat site, perhaps at certain planned times all of us geeks can go in there. And it reminded me, Martin, that we actually did try IRC,
right?
Chat room, and that's a possibility, and you could probably reference back in our show notes to see some links about how we set up an IRC chat room. I don't know what your feeling is on that, Martin, but I feel like we're so much more asynchronous now. In other words, you know,
on
we don't all
schedules.
Have to be there at the same time, and so having the social sites where we can comment and check in on those comments at any time is a lot more effective, at least in my personal preferences and things.
Well, let's let our listeners decide. If there's interest out there, let us know. I'd be happy to think about doing something more real time. The way IRC works in the real world is that, especially in the tech industry, a lot of programmers who use this, and they all revolve around, many IRC rooms revolve around different programming disciplines, use them as a help resource. Or I know there's a pretty active Drupal IRC chat room, for instance, and people just keep those open, and they kind of work almost like a listserv, you know, where once in a while you check in and see what conversations are going, and you duck in and out. So let us know if that's something of interest.
Sure. Next up, we heard from Cindy Krieger, who's out in Lansing, Michigan, and she was checking in with an update from TechSmith. TechSmith is the vendor who creates Snagit, Jing, and Camtasia Studio, and just last week they announced Camtasia for Mac, which is a big release for them. Mm-hmm. You can get it currently for $99, normally $150, so they've got a sale on if you're a Mac user and have a need to produce narrated videos, and you can include PowerPoint, screencast videos, images, audio. It's really simple to work with, and I'm a believer in their products. They do good work at TechSmith. So just a heads up that they have a new product out there.
Very good.
Yep.
Has Jing ever worked on the Mac, do you know? Or is that Windows
Jing,
only?
I believe Jing does work on the Mac. Okay. Snagit is not a Mac product at this time, but they are working on developing a Mac version of Snagit as well.
All right, cool.
But I'm pretty sure Jing works on the Mac. All right. Next up, I noticed on our Wells Tech website, our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, we actually have a little Google community going there. We have 33 people that have joined the sidebar area of our Wells Tech site. So just kind of a mini social network right there embedded on the Wells Tech site. And we heard from Jimmy Hullup, who was asking a question about audio, video, and lighting. And I just wanted to, let's see if I can bring up his question. He says, I see most content here is in regard to computer applications and office and classroom. I'm involved in event technology for worship. Event technology includes professional electronic equipment for corporate type events, audio, video, lighting, computer presentations, etc. Mm-hmm. And he said, is there a Wells group for that? And I just wanted to point out that we do have quite a section on our Wells Tech Wiki that's dedicated to church media and covers all of those different areas. And we'd love it if our listeners would add more to our wiki and you know, their experience as well, what works for them and what they've had difficulties with, so that we can all learn from that.
Yeah, I would really second that encouragement. I would love to beef up that entire wiki to make it even an even more valuable resource. I recommend people go there all the time. In fact, I've written some courses that actually bake that resource into something that they'd want to take a look at for audio and video advice, software advice, those kinds of things. So, yeah, take a look at that, wellstechwiki.wells.net. We'd love that to be an even greater resource than it is today.
Very good. Next up, we heard from Pastor Jeremiah Gum, who is serving at Cross of Christ. It's in Liverpool, New York. And he sent us a link. It's from the Church Marketing Sucks website.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's kind of dedicated to motivating the church to communicate well with clarity and truth. And anyway, there's an interesting little short blog post there from August 27th that says, still don't think social media matters. And it's just kind of given us some statistics and things to take into consideration. Does it took 38 years to reach 50 million listeners on the radio? TV took 13 years to reach 50 million users. The internet took 4 years to reach 50 million users. And now in less than 9 months, Facebook has added 100 million users. So the power is exponential at this point. And there's a lot of other interesting statistics there that, you know, just kind of give you food for thought about where the world is currently and, you know, where your ministry fits into this digital landscape.
Yep. I just went to their site and really compliment Jeremiah for the work. And I don't know if he's behind it. I'm assuming he's part of it, certainly. They use Final Web as their main page. But they have a link. The first link on the site is something called a visitor's guide. And I think that's a really good model. As I scroll through the material, first of all, you got a welcome note from the pastor, Jeremiah, of course. How do you find the church? So you got the address and the Google Map. Worship and activities list, and then a section that says, what is worship like at Cross of Christ, which every visitor wants to know. You know, what's involved with the service, the readings, the blessing, dress code, what's the offering about, what's the worst that can happen? He answers that question. Mm-hmm. What about our church body? And then a final note. I think this is an awesome model for all churches to consider something like this, because one of the first things a visitor wants to know before they visit your church is, What am I in for? What am I getting into? So, boy, I think done a very nice job there. So keep up the good work.
All right. Next up, we were checking out all our Facebook presence. We have a Facebook fan page at facebook.com/WellsTech. And there were a few comments there. Dan Smith left us a comment that said, the BWTGs were great all summer, great learning experience. And he's referring to our bonus Wells Tech goodness episodes. We'll have to include a link to that series in our show notes again. But just an opportunity for us to share some how-to information, everything from creating online forms, and I'm drawing a blank now, Martin, about what our other topics were. We had a whole
Google
series
Reader,
of them.
Or we had one on calendars.
There you go. MailChimp, email.
That's right.
Empty in your inbox. So lots of great content there for you to check out if you missed out on our summer learning series. And then on our Facebook page, again, we heard from Perry Lund. He listened to our show last week. He thought that the iPod Touch and its successors have a wonderful role in education. The software coming out in droves is amazing. And he's referring to our one-to-one computing discussion we had last week, where actually putting devices in students' hands that they can use anytime and have access to all the resources that are available now in our digital age. So I can speak from personal experience. My kids are iPod Touch users now, and unlocking the potential there. I think the potential is more, at least from their perspective, more interesting games than anything else. But there's definitely a lot of education potential there.
Well, you
as
can
well.
Sneak in that educational stuff. That's
there
the way
go.
To do it. Right.
A lot of logic building games. That helps. So, and we also still have a Facebook group page. That's what we started with, and then the trends kind of went toward these fan pages instead. But we have an active group page, and we had a comment on our group page from Dale Whitty, who I believe is somebody you know. Is that right, Martin?
His brother-in-law, yep.
Okay. And he is a music teacher. Is it at Fox Valley?
Winnebago, up in Fond du Lac.
Okay, very good. And he sent us a link to 20 free web apps to use in the classroom. It's a post that he found via the Facebook Edutopia page. And I checked out Facebook Edutopia, and that's just an excellent resource for educators. Just many, many good ideas shared there. So we'll include those two links in our show notes as well.
So apparently Edutopia is a magazine. It appears to me, which I don't float in education.
Magazine.
Right. A print magazine with a Facebook page, and which is obviously probably most magazines have that at this point. But I think, and I don't float in educational circles, but from what I can see here, really good stuff here. And
excellent.
I would assume technology and education is a hot topic everywhere. So very cool.
Yes. And keeping the Whitty train running, we heard from Pastor Dan Whitty.
My other brother-in-law, right?
Yeah, who's down at Risen Savior in Florida. And he shared with us an online Bible study model that he's using in his congregation. He, too, is a Final Web user, and he's using the document download library to post PDF versions of his Bible class material.
But not just any PDF.
That's right. He's done something really creative with his PDFs, and I think he did it using Foxit. By adding sticky notes within the PDF, he answered his Bible class questions, but they're kind of hidden away. You have to hover your mouse over the sticky note to see the answers, so you can actually read the question, contemplate it, maybe look up the verses that are referenced, and then when you're ready to know what the pastor has to say about it, you just hover over the sticky notes that he's embedded in the PDF and get the answers from him.
Like an answer key that's embedded right within the document, yeah.
Very creative.
And you don't have to use Foxit for that. You can use a regular Adobe products to do that, or most of the wealth, when we talked about these before, the wealth of PDF creation tools allow some kind of notation or annotation, and that's exactly what he used. And nicely done. This is, I think, a model that other pastors could consider if they want to publish their Bible studies even after the fact, and for people who maybe missed a class or just want to do it entirely online. Where you've got not just asking questions, but you have the answers there. So very cool concept.
I agree. And finally, we just had to check in on Twitter, see if anybody had been tweeting our Pound Wells Tech tweet search topic. And we did hear from Jason Schmidt. He is a tweeting teacher out at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and he sent us three different links. One, as you mentioned earlier, Martin, is to YouSendIt, and that's a place to do large file transfer, although they do have a limit. I believe it's 100 meg on their free account.
Yep.
So a little bit of a contrast to your pick. In the,
right.
You didn't have
same concept, though. Almost exactly the same. It works almost exactly the same way. But they have that limit. But you can purchase it for larger amounts. And it stays there longer. It's not just the 24-hour window that you have.
Okay. Next up, Jason sent us a link to Google for Educators web search resources. So if you're a teacher and you plan to teach about doing effective searches on the web, Google's put together excellent resources at all different learning levels for you to make use of. So check out that page if you're interested in that. And then finally, a link from values.com. And these are kind of generic posters that are available for free to nonprofit and school organizations, and you can order them on CD, or actually you can download and print an 8.5 by 11 version of any of these posters from their website. So great resources. Thanks very much, Jason, for sharing those.
Yep. And keep the community feedback coming. We love to hear from you. We always share, and that's an educational experience for us. That's how we get smarter, and hopefully all of us get smarter in the process as we seek to do God's will, to approach the ministries that each of us has or will have in the future with the good technology smarts, as it were. So that's what our purpose is. All right. We got something big happening in a couple weeks, right, Sally?
That's right. We're looking forward to a big anniversary. We're turning 100.
100th show. Not that we've done it for 100 weeks, because we kind of cheated with the BWTG stuff, but nonetheless, the 100th anniversary show will be happening on October 7th, I believe, right? The show
That's
for
correct.
October 7th. So 3 or 4 weeks from now. So we're on, what are we on? Show 95 today? Yes. So in 5 more episodes, and how are we going to celebrate?
Well, we're looking forward to that show, and we've decided we're dedicating that show to our listeners.
That's right.
Wells Tech and you. And our focus, actually suggested by John Shoesmith, he kind of gave us an idea at least to work through. We're going to talk about how Wells Tech has impacted your personal ministry or personal life. Hopefully, some of the resources or some of the interviews or whatever have been meaningful to you, and we'd love for you to share your stories through any of our communication channels so that we can include them in that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just make sure you reference Wells Tech and you and tell us how Wells Tech has made a difference, what you've used. Maybe it's a pick of the week. Maybe it's a website. Maybe it's an idea, a ministry approach. We don't care. Just contribute it to the collection, and we are doing a giveaway.
That's right, Martin. We have a Wells Tech store. Haven't talked about that lately, but we use Cafe Press and have a lot of awesome Wells Tech merchandise. We actually just added a new item to our Wells Tech store, and that's going to be our giveaway item.
Mm-hmm.
It's a SIG water bottle. It's a 1-liter water bottle that's really
cool.
Nice.
That's nice.
Printed with the Wells Tech logo. You wouldn't want to live without it. So if you contribute to our show, we'll include you in a drawing for that water bottle.
And that drawing will happen on October 7th. No need to be present to win, but you do need to contribute. And how does somebody contribute to the show?
Oh, we have a multitude of ways. Probably the easiest way is to go to our website, which is wellstech.wells.net. Leave us a comment right there in the show notes, or use any of the other communication channels that are referenced there. We can get email at wellstech@wells.net. We have a voicemail line, and we'd love to play your voice on our show. You can reach us at 414-375-2334. Or you can tag anything of interest with the Wells Tech tag on Delicious. You can visit our Facebook group. You can leave comments on the Wells Tech listserv, or even tweet us at @WellsTech on Twitter. So give it your best shot. We'd love to hear from you.
You can send us a direct tweet as well if you want. Sally is at,
Wells
Tech Trainer.
That's me.
Twitter.
Catchy, huh?
And I'm M. Spriggs, equally as creative. So. Talk to us. We'd love to put you in the pool, and you can enter as many times as you like, but you'll only get your name on the list once for our magic wheel that we spin, our digital wheel that we spin for the winner. So please take advantage of that, and definitely join us on October 7th for that 100th anniversary show. I'm looking forward to that, Sally.
Definitely, and I'm curious to know, you know, how people have used the ideas. I'm sure there's a lot of mashup of ideas and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So tell us about your creative uses, just like Pastor Witte annotating PDFs. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear how it's impacting your ministry.
Awesome. Next week, we're going to continue our discussion on Clay Shirky's book, Here Comes Everybody, Chapter 10, for those of you following along at home, playing the home version. Failure for Free is the name of the chapter. So if you want to read Chapter 10 and tune in next week. Sally and I will be talking about its impact and ramifications for technology in ministry. Well, that'll about do it, Sally. Let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf. Lookout is the name of the song from his album Climb the Mountain. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Now the rich old man left the luxury of his living for today. He had the house, the car, the cash in the clothes, but inside his heart was gray. He said, I think I'll take it easy now, but there was something he did not see. You may live out your life in comfort, sir, but when you die, you forfeit me. Look out, you hit the wall. If life would end, where would you fall? You walk and lead to pain, or with a life you live, show your faith and not in vain. perfect life, he could buy most anything. But a feeling deep within his soul left him without a song to sing. He said, I heard about this heaven, Lord, what will it cost before this life? He said, good man, it's good for you to know I've already paid the price. Look how you hit the wall, if your life would end, where would you fall? You live, show your faith is not in vain. Look out, you hit the wall. If your life would end, where would you fall? With the path you're walking, lead to pain. And with the life you live, show your faith is not in vain. Nobody knows what the future holds or the days left in your life. The end may come with a hiss and a splash and take the years to pass.